Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, February 3rd edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. We got here to February, guys. Crazy enough, January's over. So first month of the year's in the books, first month of the MMA calendar's in the books, and we have a lot of fights to look forward to this month. We got UFC 247 coming up this weekend. It's going to be really good. Cole Sheldon's going to be joining me tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to break down that entire card. I'm excited to talk about that card. There are some great fights on it. I'm starting to feel a lot better than I was last week. So hopefully my voice holds up this week. Much better than last week. I appreciate you guys bearing with me. But things should be much better this week now that I'm feeling better. So let's get into today's show. There's quite a bit of news to talk about that happened on the weekend, even without any events. So let's get right into it. First things first, Dana White's confirmed Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal. It's happening, guys. International Fight Week in Vegas in July. So this fight will be happening for the UFC welterweight title. Usman putting his belt on the line, defending it for the second time. First time against Colby Covington, now against Masvidal. It's a great fight. You know, I am one of the people that wanted to see Masvidal against McGregor. That's the fight I wanted to see personally. I just feel like that was the biggest fight the UFC could have made. But Dana White and McGregor seem very adamant about this Habib rematch, or Ferguson, whoever wins that fight, UFC 249. So with that happening, with McGregor staying in the lightweight division, it's just made sense for Usman to move on and to fight Masvidal, and for him to move on as well. So this is a perfect fight. I just love this matchup. Usman, 11-0 in the UFC, 11-fight win streak in the UFC. He's looked incredible, coming off a great win over Covington at UFC 245. One of the better fights of last year. And then Masvidal, of course, three straight wins, turned to a superstar last year, beating Till Askren and Nate Diaz. So this is a tremendous fight between two guys at the top of their games. Again, there are betting lines out for this fight. It's a tough one to call. It's a very interesting fight. Minus 260 right now. Yeah, there's a couple odds out. There's Bet Online and Bovada have odds. So minus 260 Usman, plus 200 Masvidal. It's about standard. You will see more odds coming out for this fight, though, in the next couple of days and stuff. For other sports books, I expect it to be a little bit tighter than that, because right now I think a lot of people would be hitting on Masvidal plus 200. But either way, it looks like this is going to happen, guys. So there's no exact date, I don't believe, for the fight, but we just know it's going to happen at International Fight Week. Usually that's the first week of July in Las Vegas. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It should be a great card. It's possible Conor could find that card as well. It's possible. I doubt it. You know, with Habib, with the Ramadan thing, he probably will be returning in September. So, unfortunately, Conor's going to have to sit a while, I believe, unless he fights Justin Gaethje, which I'm going to talk about now, because Ali Abdelaziz, the manager of Habib Nurmagomedov, he wants Conor to fight Justin Gaethje next. He says Habib is a man of principle. Habib does not want Conor to get a title shot coming off one win over Donald Cerrone, who's an older fighter who's coming off a couple losses. He wants Conor to fight Gaethje next, and if Conor beats Gaethje, then he can get a title shot. And honestly, like, as much as I want to disagree with Ali, and a lot of us always disagree with Ali with what he says, it's hard to disagree with him in this case. I think he might be right. Like, it doesn't make what he makes. I know Conor's a big star. I get it. He's a massive star, and Gaethje's not a draw at all. But Gaethje just beat McGregor, or beat Cerrone. So why should he have to wait for McGregor first? Like, arguably, Gaethje's performance was just as impressive. So, you know, with Habib being out until September, I mean, again, Tony could win that fight. So we have to remember that and keep that in mind. But just say Habib wins. He is favored to do so. Just say he's up to September. Then Gaethje's not going to fight for a year. Then Conor's not going to fight for 9 months. Like, it's kind of crazy, right? So that's the fight I would do. I would do McGregor versus Gaethje. And I know that it's kind of a dangerous fight for McGregor. But hey, if he wants to spend his place as number one contender, he should be able to beat a guy like Justin Gaethje. And honestly, as much as I like Gaethje, Conor matches up pretty well with him. I mean, striking-wise, they're both great strikers, but Conor's a little bit more accurate, and I think he's a little bit more durable as far as, like, getting hit in the face. You know, Gaethje's been knocked out a couple times. I don't think McGregor has, really. So, to me, like, it'd be a great fight. I love Gaethje. He would have a chance for sure, but McGregor would probably be favored. And honestly, if he wants to really cement his place as a number contender in the eyes of fans, in the eyes of his fellow fighters, in the eyes of Habib the champ, maybe this is the fight he should need to win first. Let's go to these questions here. Consider rear doji Usman knocked out if he tries to outpunch Jorge like he did with Colby. Definitely possible. I think he will try to go for takedowns for sure. I think he'll try to be like Maya when they fought a couple years ago. Go for takedowns, I'll grapple him. But we'll see. I mean, he could stand with him. He looked good in the last fight standing, man. And the other question, Conor will never fight Gaethje. Let's put that to rest. There's no big reason to fight Gaethje compared to other fighters. Conor could fight. Yeah, I get it. Like, it's a risky fight, you know, for what it is. But at the same time, I just want to see the fight. You know, I'm a selfish guy, and I want to see Gaethje versus McGregor. I just want to see Gaethje fight. I mean, they have the fight in September. It feels like he's kind of becoming relevant quickly. Like, he's got to get a fight soon. Unfortunately for him, he might not be able to fight Conor. He might have to fight someone like Poirier, who he's fought before. But, hey, maybe that's the fight he needs. And I will talk about the other question here about Bellator in a second. But I'm going to go through the UFC news first. Next up, Uriah Faber did an interview yesterday. And he said that people are sleeping at Dominic Cruz at 135. He believes that Dominic Cruz is the rightful number one contender. He thinks he should fight Peter Yan next to determine who should have the next title shot against the winner of Cejudo and Aldo. And, you know, I definitely respect Faber, but does he realize what year it is? It's 2020. Like, Dominic Cruz is not the same guy that he once was. He's not the same guy where they fought 10 years ago when they had their fights a couple years ago, you know? So, to me, it's a long time ago that Cruz has got a win. It's been almost 5 years. He hasn't got a win since 2016, so 4 years, I guess. But he hasn't fought since December 2016 against Garbrandt. I know he's had a lot of injuries. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he was a guy that was on track to be a Hall of Famer, and he dealt with a lot of injuries. He still is. He's supposed to fight in the next 6 months. That's what Cruz is saying. He says he will return this year. I don't see how you could say that he's, you know, a better and more likely future champ in this division than a guy like Peter Yan, who's young, who's a devastating knockout, who's got good wrestling, or someone like Sterling, who's been pretty active. He's got really good wrestling, good grappling, good submissions. Like, to me, these guys are much more dangerous fights. Even guys like Marlon Moraes, I think, is more dangerous than Dominic Cruz at this point. Corey Sandhagen. Like, there's so many guys in this division at 135 that I believe are more dark horses than Dominic Cruz. I don't think Dominic Cruz is really relevant anymore. I mean, listen, it's cool to see Faber actually give his old rival some props, but Faber's got to realize this is 2020. It's not 2011. You know, it's a long time ago that these guys fought, and Cruz was on the top of this game. I don't think he is anymore. I think Cruz is still a pretty good fighter. If he does come back, I think he can beat a lot of guys. But I think he does get beaten by a lot of guys too. I think if he fought Peter Yan, I think Peter Yan would destroy Dominic Cruz at this point. You know, it'd be an interesting fight. I mean, Cruz, if he comes back, he'll get a top 10 opponent, top 5 opponent probably. I just don't see him being as relevant to the division as Uriah Faber says, but it was interesting to hear Faber talk about him. Another guy who's making a comeback, another bantamweight, Thomas Almeida. I mean, I was pretty happy when I saw this. So Thomas Almeida is finally going to come back after 2 years away. He wants to fight UFC 250 in Sao Paulo in Brazil. That's the Cejudo Aldo card. Be interesting, wouldn't it? I'd like to see it. Almeida, only 28 years old, so he's still pretty young. He hasn't fought in 2 years, though. So this guy, for the first 20 fights of his career, he's undefeated with 19 knockouts. He was 4-0 in the UFC, won 4 into the night, or 5 in his first 4 fights, including an incredible flying knee on Brad Pickett at UFC 189, which is one of the greatest cards of all time. And then since then, he just kind of went a little bit downhill. His last 4 fights, 1-3. Rocco lost to Cody Garbrandt, another guy who lost to Garbrandt. He lost to him back in 2016. So that was the same year Garbrandt beat Cruz on the belt. Since then, I only has one win over Alvin Morales, who's not even in the UFC anymore. I think he's in Bellator now. And the last two wins or fights were losses to Rob Font and Jimmy Rivera. And Morales is actually just in the regional scene at this point. So, you know, that's the last win he has, November 2016, over a guy who's not even close to the UFC anymore. So, you know, I'd like Almeida, but I do hope that this time around the UFC brings him up slowly. Like, don't throw him in the fire with some of these guys. Like, in the top 10, like, if he comes back and fights a guy like Marlon Moraes or Corey Sandhagen, that's bad news for Thomas Almeida. You know, even a guy like Song Yadong, I think, a top 15 guy like that, is dangerous. If I'm the UFC, I'm going to give this guy someone who's not ranked right now. I would give him someone down the periphery of the top 15, and then let him just kind of build his way back up. You know, he's still 28, he's still fairly young. He took time off, took 2 years off. Hopefully his chin's kind of healed up a bit. Having said that, you know, if it hasn't, it's because, you know, that whole balls to the wall, gung-ho, shoot a buck style of just putting your chin down and throwing bombs. It's caught up to him. You know, you can't fight like Wanderlei Silva did all those years ago. It's a lot different now. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Thomas Almeida. The guy's a very exciting fighter to watch, but I'm kind of tempering my expectations about his return. Honestly, it would not surprise me if he does get knocked out again. If that happens, he could end up retiring at a young age, but we'll see what happens because the guy's still talented as a striker. I got some questions here. Rio Doju again. Yan versus Sterling. Would be a great network contender fight. Yeah, so there was a report actually on the weekend. I didn't talk about this yet, but there's a report from Yan's manager gave a quote to some Russian website that the UFC is considering Yan versus Marlon Moraes, which would be an interesting fight. It makes sense because they both fought at UFC 245. He also said Sterling is someone else he'd be fighting. which could be, in my opinion, Corey Sandhagen, if I had to guess. Like, by the way, Sandhagen, the guy got screwed in the fight with Frankie Edgar. He hasn't got a fight booked yet. Poor guy, man. Like, that sucks. So hopefully UFC's taking care of him. And some other questions here. Cruz, old with some injuries and caught up to him just like Boss Room. He barely move his neck anymore. Definitely the injuries have caught up to him, but he says he'll be back in 6 months. So we'll see what happens if that's true or not. He might come back and fight once and then miss four more years. It's possible. It says a funny UFC, the 135-pound division is stacked. Yeah, it is. And how many odds maker interns got fired last 2 weeks for losing their bosses a lot of money for Roxanne Chiesa? Nah, I think they're okay. Lidosis, you find any value in the paper on this week's pay-per-view, mate? I have, but I want to talk about tomorrow with Cole, man. So second podcast tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Join us, and we'll talk about some of the fights tomorrow. Should be a good card this weekend. You know, definitely a top-heavy card. It's mostly based on the main event, but I think there are some fights that could be possible bets, so definitely tune in for tomorrow. All right, let's go to Bellator now, because I know that Katsuhiro Ryodoji wants to talk about this. So Scott Coker, he is interested in Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis. Could happen, guys. Could happen to Bellator. And you know what? It's crazy enough, it kind of makes sense. Like, Dylan Danis is kind of a joke already. I mean, the guy fights like guys none of us have ever heard of. I know he's an incredible grappler. I know his ground game's amazing. But he's more of like a guy who has like fat fingers on Twitter, in my opinion. Like, he's not really a fighter. He's just kind of a celebrity at this point. He's mostly known as Conor McGregor's friend. Logan Paul is a celebrity. He's a YouTuber. He had two boxing fights. One was a pro fight, and he won a draw, and then he lost a split decision. Some people thought he won the last fight. He got ducked a couple points for illegal shots when an opponent was down. But, you know, Logan Paul is a guy who's actually a good athlete. He has a wrestling background. He was talking about possibly fighting CM Punk in the UFC. CM Punk has said he does not want to fight Logan Paul. I don't think Dana White's interested in Logan Paul right now. It's not like the UFC is better than Logan Paul. I just don't think they want to do those kind of freak show fights anymore, even though it's funny because they did it a few years ago and had no problem with it. But I think this is right up Bellator's alley, guys. I really do. You know, especially Zone seems interested in this. Scott Coker said he did talk to Logan Paul this weekend in Miami. I didn't mention that. The Chiefs obviously won yesterday at the Super Bowl, which was cool to see. But, yeah, Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis, I think it's going to happen, guys, in Bellator. It's honestly a fun fight, you know. But if they do it, like, if it's going to be an MMA fight, Danis is going to have to be favored quite a bit, just because if he does get the fight to the ground, it's going to be hard for Logan Paul to win. Having said that, they could make it a modified rules match or a kickboxing match and just have it stand up. It'd be an awful fight probably to watch, but it'd be kind of funny, right? I just feel like it's going to sell. I mean, you guys can say that Logan Paul's a joke or whatever, but the guy sold a lot of pay-per-views for his last fight, or like not pay-per-views, but his own subscriptions for the fight with KSI. And I feel like this fight with Dylan Danis could actually sell a lot of his own subscriptions too. Like, the YouTube community is pretty big, right? Like, they have a lot of people watching. So I feel like this could be a kind of a big fight for Bellator, believe it or not. I know it's kind of a joke, but I think it could actually be a big fight. I got a couple questions here. Lidosis, who's the sharp? Nick got bets on this weekend. Oh, man. I think you just got to check his Instagram out, man. He's giving a lot of his play on there these days. You know, Nick is, and also UFC on the line, you know, for Nick. But yeah, Nick's sharp as hell for sure. Can't wait till tomorrow. I have the patience, bro. Sorry, man. I really need Cole to be here because I want to hear what his opinions are. I respect his opinion too. Ryodoji, no value because Vegas odds makers actually did their work this week. Yeah, the odds look pretty tight, but I'm gonna talk about them tomorrow again. And then I hope Logan Paul's called wrestling keep Dylan the GOAT dance off and KO with that decent boxing skills, because you know Dylan's zero stand up. That's the thing, like, Dylan's stand up is not good. So if the fight does stay standing, I mean, listen, Logan Paul's stand up's not very good either, but it's possible it could actually be competitive on the feet. If it goes to the ground, though, I mean, I'm with you, man. I think it'd be a wrap pretty quick. And he says Logan Paul's a great prospect. UFC losing out. I don't know if I call him a great prospect. I mean, he has no fights in MMA. So I think that's kind of a stretch. I know you're kind of probably trolling with that. Like, but I do think there is something there because of the star power and also because of his athletic background. I don't think the guy's a complete joke like a lot of people think he is. I do actually think there's something there. I think Bellator, you know, it's not like this is coming out of nowhere. Like, these guys have been talking about a fight for like 6 months now. It feels like Scott Coker's finally just catching up. And I do think it actually would be a pretty big fight for DAZN, which is what they want. Another thing for Bellator, Gegard Mousasi. So we talked about this the other day. Rafael Lavar Jr., the middleweight champ, he has a brain condition. No decisions been made yet, but he might have to retire. And if that's the case, he has to obviously vacate his title. And if that's the case, then Gegard Mousasi says he'd be interested in fighting Douglas Lima for the vacant Bellator middleweight title. He also mentioned John Salter as an opponent, but you know, John Salter's a pretty good fighter. But honestly, guys, like Mousasi versus Lima, that'd be a fun fight to watch. Like, I know Lima's not as big as Mousasi, but I think he could be very competitive. Lima has extremely good striking, he's very dangerous on the feet, and he's got good wrestling too. And then, of course, Mousasi, just an incredibly well-rounded fighter, so experienced. This would be a great fight, guys. I would love to see this matchup. It just depends what happens with the bottle. You can't just like strip the guy of his belt unless he truly can't fight anymore. But if that's the case, then I think they should. The only other thing they can do is do an interim title, and Bellator doesn't like to do that. But I think in this case, it could be a possibility that they actually introduce an interim belt and do Mousasi versus Lima, which would be an incredible fight. I don't even know who I'd favor for that fight. I guess Mousasi because of the size, but Lima is an amazing fighter and extremely underrated. All right. One more thing for Bellator here, a fight announcement. You have Bellator 241. They're actually catching up to the UFC guys, crazy enough, right? Like, I know UFC has the fight night cards, so they obviously have way more events. They have like over 500 events, but Bellator number-wise is catching up to the UFC, which is crazy. Bellator might beat the UFC to Bellator 300. They might have Bellator 300 before UFC 300, which is crazy. But anyways, Bellator 241, Paul Daly against Sabah Hamasi. So Paul Daly said like a few months ago, he's like, I'm not fighting in the United States anymore, only fighting in England. And now he's fighting Sabah Hamasi on this card in Connecticut, the Mohegan Sun. So Paul Daly, he's coming off a couple wins over Sadawad and Eric Silva. Still a dangerous guy. He was fired from that role at Bellator commentator because he criticized Michael Page in his matchmaking. I don't think he was wrong about anything he said. And Sabah Hamasi is coming off two straight wins as well over Mikel Terrell and Muhammad Abdullah. He was in the UFC, lost all three fights by knockout. I don't know. He has fought in Bellator a few times, actually. This is his fourth stint in Bellator. This guy's been around for a while. You got to favor Paul Daly. Sabah Hamasi is a guy who gets knocked out quite a bit, in my opinion, and I think Paul Daly probably wins. But an interesting fight. Should be a fun fight for that undercard. I'll take the last couple questions here, and then I'll get out of here. People make fun of Logan Paul versus KSI. KSI is a straight savage. He would KO if you try to test him on the street. Respect, they both young studs. If I train with Logan and KSI at my dojo, back in my village, I can make them both Kung Fu champions. Anyways, that's funny. I'm going to see if I missed anything, but I think I got everything I want to talk about. Again, there was quite a bit of news on the weekend. Okay, so there's a few other things I want to just mention here. There was a UFC veteran, Clay Collard. He fought Max Holloway once. He actually had a really good boxing match on the weekend. A lot of people were talking about it. He looked really good. The funny thing about this was, first off, he won the fight. He knocked the guy out in the second round, an unbeaten prospect. After the fight, the prospect, I think his name's Ray Guardado or something. Anyways, the guy grabbed the mic. Once again, a losing fighter grabbed the mic. Ray, when Clay Collard is talking to the reporter, and he starts talking about, you know, thanking his family and his sponsors. It was just disgusting. Like, just like Macy Barber, guys, you know, just a snotty, bratty attitude. This whole trend of losing fighters, grabbing the mic for winning fighters is terrible, and I hope it ends. And also, you got to blame the reporters, too. Like, they're giving the mic to these guys. I would be like, no, you wait, or you don't even talk. You get knocked out, and you're like an undercard fight. You don't get to talk on the mic. Get out of here. Go win your fight. Clay Collard deserved that moment, and he's a nice guy and let the other guy talk, but it really shouldn't happen that way. Also, there was a really nasty arm break at CFFC 81. We have the video over at pjpan.com. I don't know if it was an arm break or the dislocation or something, but this guy's arm was jacked. Like, once again, guys, got to tap out to live another day. Don't just, you know, wait for the referee to jump in. This guy didn't. His arm looks really messed up, so definitely check it out. And also, there was a crazy hockey fight of the weekend, a line brawl between the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames. The two goalies got at, which was pretty cool. Always love to see the goalies fight. There's been some really good goalie fights over the years. Like back in the 90s when I was growing up as a kid, there was some really good fights between like the Avalanche and the Red Wings when they were rivals, like Chris Osgood, Patrick Waugh, Mike Vernon. Like there were some really good fights back then. Also, there was one a few years ago, Brent Johnson versus Rick DiPietro, crazy knockout. I think he broke the guy's orbital bone. It was crazy. So there's been some really good hockey fights. Hockey is definitely not my top sport anymore. When I was growing up, it was absolutely my like number one sport. So I still watch something sometimes, and when I see a fight like this, it's definitely exciting for sure. Anyways, that's gonna be it for today's show, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. And I'll be back tomorrow morning for two podcasts, one covering the news and then one doing the UFC 247 breakdown with Cole. So you guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And you can check this podcast out at MMAoddsMaker.com. That's my home. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in today for this podcast. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Have a great day. I'll see you soon. Bye.